Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Hello, everybody. This is Denise Griffiths, and I welcome you to your Partner in Success Radio. This week, I'm really excited. I get to chat to somebody who, you know, works largely in my field. He's a great copywriter, and he knows a lot about websites. As a web developer and a virtual assistant, this is a really important chat for me, so I'm excited about it. Today, I'm talking with Andy O'Brien, and Andy is going to give us some very important tips on getting clients from your website. Like I said, as a web developer and virtual assistant, this is important. You can build a gorgeous website, but if it is not pulling in traffic, if people are not staying there, if they're not reading what you have to say, you have a problem. It's kind of like building this gorgeous, gorgeous building that has no furniture in it. There's nothing to sit on. There's nothing to do. We're going to talk about how to make your website work. And Andy says if your website isn't selling or isn't doing much of anything for that matter, then it's probably the copy, and I agree with him. Andy has been writing marketing copy. I need coffee. I was looking at my coffee cup and trying to say copy. There's a leap there. I won't try to explain it. So Andy has been writing marketing copy for over 20 years, and he has written over 500 coaching websites. So I think he knows a thing or two about how to make people sit up and take notice when they do get to your website. Andy, good morning. Thank you so much for being here. It is a delight to chat with you.
Hey, Denise, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be on with you today. So I'm looking forward to getting started.
Oh, I'm going to pick your brain. You have no idea. You may be sorry when it's all over. So listen, Andy, before we get started, before I get off, you know, asking you a whole bunch of probably technical questions, can you give our audience, you know, a little bit of information about you? Who you are, what you do, and where they can find you on the web?
Sure, thanks. Well, basically, I've been writing copy online for about 8 years. That was after I left a nice, cushy marketing director position with a big company, and decided basically to make a go of it on my own, and proceeded to make pretty much a mistake in the book. So having done that and learned from all those mistakes, I got to know a lot of really great people and made a lot of amazing connections, and that I was able to leverage those connections to grow my business and really do what I love now. So it's been a wild ride over the last 10-15 years or so.
Right.
But now I'm here talking to you, and everything is apparently going according to plan. So it's nice to have that happening right now. So
right. And one thing, you know, our audience needs to understand is you have a very well-known name as far as copywriting. So you managed to kind of find out what it was that you really like, where your passion is, what you're very, very good at, and then market that. And I think a lot of people now, particularly in this economy, people, I find, and this I don't, it's just anecdotal evidence. I don't have enough, you know, working. I can't support a theory. It's just an idea that I have. But a lot of people that I talk to these days are saying, you know, I want to do what I want to do. I don't want to hang around waiting for unemployment. I don't necessarily want to go get a job. I want to be an entrepreneur. And thank God for those people. So you kind of blazed the trail for doing a lot of that. And I know a lot of our audience have that mindset. So we're talking to them today. So anything you can share, I can go. Have at it.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, we're going to be talking about the top 10 ways to make your website sell better, basically.
Right.
But actually, there are there are a lot more than that. I'll touch on the top 10, but, you know, I could talk for hours about it. So in the brief time that we have, I'll hit upon all the greatest hits, and we'll have some fun in between, and feel free to pop in anytime and make a comment or an observation, because really this is all, it's very fluid and things change. I mean, I've been talking about this stuff for years, but the internet, as you know, just changes every day so dramatically. I mean, Facebook just changed all their stuff just this week, and it's just been driving everybody crazy. I mean, I can't stand the new Facebook, personally.
Well, I was saying bad words, and I was saying them in two languages. Today, I'm kind of... My attitude yesterday was, if I couldn't put enough emphasis in a bad word to startle a cat off my desk, I was doing it wrong. But today, I'm kind of okay with it. I guess, you know, there's... being a techie, I'm fascinated by some of the things that they're doing. Being an intensely private person, I'm scared to death by some of the things that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So we can talk about that too. But you're right. I mean, the technology that we might have learned even a month ago has probably changed today.
Right.
So you have to really be on top of all of this if you're going to have a website and be very, very active and getting your visitors to understand what it is that you're doing. So you have a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. So where do you want to start?
Yeah, and I didn't want to get off on the social media tangent, because that's a whole other call. But it's just amazing how all of these things kind of tie in together. But as far as the website goes, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it's all about getting people to your website and making those people do something. Social media is just a vehicle for that. But there's so many other ways to do that. And once you get them on your site, most people, that's where the battle's won or lost. And most people just seem to be spinning their wheels. So what we're going to try to do today is help get some traction with your site by making a few simple, quick changes. And you probably don't need a designer to make these changes. Maybe you do. I mean, if you already have one, or if you can do some things yourself, that's great. But I don't want to create more work for anyone. But I do want to create more business for everyone. So if you can kind of see the forest for the trees and understand that we're going to be talking things that it would be nice if you could do yourself. But if you need to get someone, you know, just to do a quick fix or two or three, if it's going to mean more profits for you, I think that's the main thing. So let's jump right in here. The first of the 10 items here I want to talk about with sites and with your website is the headline. And if this is probably the biggest thing. So many sites, I've reviewed thousands of websites, and so many of these just missed the mark with a headline. And it drives me up the wall to see something like "Welcome to my website" as a headline.
You mean that doesn't work? Sorry.
Well, it works from a welcoming standpoint, but it doesn't work in terms of keeping them there. I mean, people don't really care about being welcomed to your site. I mean, they're there. They want to get some solutions. And most people will only give you about 5 to 10 seconds of their precious time when they come to your site. So if you're spending those 5 seconds letting them read a welcome message, that's going to be it. They're not going to be compelled to do anything else there. So really, you have to make more of an impact. The headline will serve that purpose. Now, I'm not talking about one of those wild, hypey headlines that you see on sales pages all the time, these long, scrolling, screaming pages that sell stuff. I'm not talking about those headlines. I'm talking about headlines that are more classy, more reflective of what they might get out of staying on the site. Look at newspapers. I mean, they have headlines, and those aren't screaming. They just are. It's just to get you to read the articles. So if you look at it from that perspective, it's really just a device to get people to move through the text. So when you add a headline, and actually when I write copy for a client, I spend most of my time on the headline because that is the most important thing. It's where everything begins. So if you can come up with a headline that is filled with benefits and addresses their concerns, it's no easy task. And what I would recommend is writing about 10 possible headlines and then whittling them down, maybe even asking friends or colleagues which ones they like the best. Narrow it down to the top five and then the top three. Have like a little competition, make it like American Idol or whatever, and get it down to a winning headline that you can use. And that's not to say that it's in stone. I mean, you can actually change up your headlines as often as you like, but give it a chance for it to generate some type of activity. It's so critical for you to have a good headline. And if you pull people in and you get them curious enough to want to read on, that's the thing. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, okay, Andy, how do I come up with these headline ideas? Well, one thing I like to do is save all my junk mail. I have a huge file of flyers and brochures, all these things that these big companies paid copywriters, like the best copywriters in the world, thousands and thousands of dollars to come up with these direct mail pieces that end up in your mailbox that you end up throwing away. They hire the best writers for those pieces. So instead of throwing them away as a consumer, hold on to them as a student of marketing and writing and get some ideas from those headlines. All those health products that you see in your mailbox these days, those bottom lines and all the different things that you get ads for in the mail, read some headlines and think, oh, wow, that's actually pretty catchy. So that will give you some fodder. Also, take a look at some other websites with good headlines. Follow some of your, the people who you subscribe to on your email lists. Instead of deleting their emails, go to their websites and take a look at what they're up to. Think of yourself as a student instead of a consumer who just throws stuff out all the time. Does that make sense?
That's a brilliant. It actually does, and it's a brilliant idea, and I'm glad you brought it up. I actually save, you get autoresponders. You sign up for somebody's newsletter, they may have a product launch or something. And if it's somebody that I like and I like the way they present themselves and I like their products, I will go ahead and sign up for their newsletter. And I save those autoresponders because some of them are absolutely brilliantly written. Mm-hmm. And I may want to, and I do go back and study them for my own autoresponder series. So I'm now going to take it a step further and do what you're doing and start saving some of those headlines because I hadn't even thought about that. That is a brilliant idea.
Now, at the risk of cluttering up your office or your house, give it a shot. And if something doesn't work, don't file it away, recycle it or whatever. But, it's good to have a good third file. And you never, there's always new stuff coming in your mailbox, so you never have to worry about it getting stale. All right.
In your email box, too.
That's right. Yeah. Actually, that's a whole other issue. The whole issue of email marketing is just a whole different monster. And actually, this is a nice segue into number two, list building. Your website actually should be really focused on building a targeted email list for yourself. And again, I go to all these websites. The ones that I review have, instead of listing what their newsletter or their report or whatever it is they're giving away, instead of listing the benefits of those things, it just says, subscribe to my newsletter. And then it has a form. And that's it. Let me tell you, nobody wants to subscribe to anything anymore. So you actually have to sell your free stuff. As counterintuitive as that sounds, you actually have to talk people into getting something free from you. Everyone's jaded. They get hundreds of emails. They delete things all the time. The last thing they want is to subscribe to something else. So you have to make it really compelling for them to want to join your newsletter list or download your special report or your audio, whatever it might be that you have, and hopefully you are doing that. If you're not, that's a whole other issue. But hopefully you are trying to build your email list. I mean, I've been preaching about that for years. So the next logical thing is to make it, you know, compelling enough for them to want to subscribe. Mm-hmm. So let's say you have a newsletter. What are they going to get as a newsletter subscriber? How often do they receive it? What are some of the outcomes that they will count on as one of your newsletter subscribers? Do you have any testimonials from your newsletter subscribers currently that you could add to that?
That's a good point. I hadn't thought of that either.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you're here today. I'm writing down stuff quicker than you can talk.
Okay, well, you know, there's so many reasons why you should build your mailing list, your email list, and you know, just to have a free source of ongoing marketing is just one reason. But the other reason is so that you can do some joint ventures down the road. And so list building should be a top priority. I'll let you in on a little secret. I haven't spent a dime on marketing in several years. It's all been due to my list and the fact that I can leverage that list for joint venture relationships with other people. So I don't spend any money on marketing. I've been able to grow my business just from my list. So if you look at it that way, if you have a list of 100, set a goal for yourself to build it up to 500 within the next 6 months. And nowadays with social media, you can do that pretty easily. Let's say you have 1,000 Facebook friends. If you start to grow that, you know, 2,000 Twitter followers, start to grow those, and then when you grow those, you can give away your report or your newsletter, send people to your site to subscribe from your friends list or your Twitter followers list. I mean, there's all kinds of ways now that I didn't have back a few years ago before social media was big. You know, I mean, it took me years to build my list up. Now you can do it pretty quickly through social media.
You can, right.
That's a biggie. Okay, let's see. Number three, we have, as a follow-up to my headlines tactic, do some sub-headlines. And by that, I mean what sub-headlines are really mechanisms for keeping the flow of your copy going throughout the page. So if, you know, don't just have a good headline and be done. You have to move people through the text of your site, especially if there's a good amount of text, because people's attention spans are very short online. You have to keep them on the edge of their seat throughout your page. You want to keep them moving through the home page. You want to keep them clicking to maybe other pages, whether you have a products or services page, an about page. All those pages need to get read, and you can move them through the site with some headlines that just stand out. So actually, you may already have the makings of a sub-headline or two on your current page by maybe it's just the first line of a paragraph. Take a look at one of the more interesting sentences and make it bold, center it, and separate it, and you have a subheadline. So if people take a look at their sites after this call after the show and think about, all right, what lines could I pull out and highlight or you know, what could I use as some of my better phrases that I wrote, how can I pull those out to get people moving through the site better? So that's a good one to keep reminding yourself that the headline itself is just the tip of the iceberg. You need to keep people moving through the site, and they always have to be thinking about the benefits, and we'll get into that in a minute too. But just take a couple of your phrases, pull them out, center them, make them bold, increase the font a little bit, and there you go. You have a subheadline. It just keeps flow going, and it's really not as hard as it might appear when I say a subheadline.
Right.
Okay. So then, moving through here, I'm trying to go a little fast here, Denise, because, you know, I'm only on number four. So,
and I have questions about all of them, too. So,
oh, good.
But, you know, take your
good.
Time. Feel free. We can always have a follow-up call, which I love to do, because what happens is we get so many responses from these interviews, and people say, oh, gosh, but what about this? And could you ask him this? And how do I contact this person? So we will probably, I would love to have you back as a, you know, guest to follow up. So take your time.
Okay. Well, and actually, Denise, I have to be honest. I haven't done any type of program like this in a long time. I used to do them all the time. But I've been so busy with my writing, you know, with my copywriting that I just haven't had a chance to do these calls, and I love it. So if it sounds like I have about a year of pent-up talking, I just, you know, stop me if I just keep droning on. But it's just near and dear to my heart.
Great. I know, and you're giving some great, great stuff. I actually have some questions down the road, and we'll come back to this because I don't want to interrupt your flow here. But I do want to ask you about white space and graphics and bullets and things like that on your website.
Sure.
Because those are very important, too. I mean, visually and, you know, to keep, like you say, to keep the eye flowing, you know, keep the information flowing. But we'll come back to that.
Okay. Well, we're on number four, and number four is audio and video. And video, the concept of having a video on your site may seem daunting, and you know, a lot of people just still haven't come around to it. I know with me, I haven't even really done much video on my own stuff. I've tried, and I don't have a remote on my camera, so I have to, like, I don't want people seeing me turn the record button on and sitting back down to start talking. So, you know, there are some little subtle nuances about video that can be a little tricky. But, you know, I mean, there's millions of videos now online. So And it's getting so much easier every day to create your own videos and put them up on your site. And so even though not everyone's come around to the concept of video, really just log on to YouTube and you know how popular it is. So it is amazing now. So, you know, if you're not that savvy yet with video, then at least do an audio. Do something so that people will get to know you better on your site, as so it's not just about the words. And that is hard for me to grasp because I am a writer, but I do understand that this is a multimedia experience people are going to now with websites. So they want to see you on a video. And it doesn't have to be Cecil B. DeMille. It can be just you with a webcam and you know, does quality count? Sure. You know, don't have it be all... I mean, I've seen some pretty bad videos, and it's not a good reflection. But it doesn't have to be a really glossy thing. As long as the audio sounds good with the video, as long as you're staring into the camera when you're talking and not looking off reading something into the camera.
Doing the teleprompter tennis match thing.
that's not good.
No.
It just looks really fake. I mean, just memorize 30 seconds worth of copy and you're fine. Just talk off the cuff, ad lib, you know.
Exactly. I mean, if you know your subject and you're passionate about it, you shouldn't need notes. You should be speaking from the heart.
Exactly.
Now, I do have a question for you, though, and I'm going to interrupt your train of thought here just a little bit. I'm like you. I just have not done video largely because, well, two reasons for me personally. Number one, I don't enjoy them. I almost never watch videos. I don't learn by watching. I learn by reading and I learn by listening. Videos for me are just boring, and I watch very little TV. I hate movies. It's just not for me, and I know I'm not alone in that. The other problem that I have with video is that I am incredibly camera phobic to the point where I have offered to pay for cameras if you don't stop. I mean, I hate having my picture taken. And that goes back to when I was 5 years old, and I'm not going to talk about that crisis. But it was
for another call.
I didn't speak to my grandmother for a long time after that. But,
oh, dear.
But you know, it's just some things. I will not post my picture on the Internet. I will not allow videos of me anywhere. I just don't like it. Now, my question to you, and I'm seeing a lot of these new type of videos that I actually will listen to because I don't have to watch them. And those are the kinds where you maybe got somebody with a whiteboard and he's doing a little bit of cartoons or there's just some scrolling words. But the content is so fascinating that I can listen to it because I don't have to watch it. Now, those videos I find very attractive. And they're not actually a video. You're not seeing the person. You're not seeing, you know, anything other than maybe some scrolling words or a little cartoon being drawn. Those I can hang with. What are your thoughts on that for somebody like me who's just not going to put up a personal video? Not going to happen.
Absolutely. I love that idea. And for that matter, you can just whip up a quick PowerPoint and do a voiceover.
Exactly. Exactly. And I love that. Because I'm listening. I'm hearing. I'm listening. I'm learning. And I'm not having to sit there and stare at a screen.
Yep. And actually, those are quicker and easier even. You know, to
exactly
and going
exactly.
So, good suggestion.
So there are options for all of us, actually.
I even have. It's funny because on my notepad here that I rely on all day long, I have in big letters, "Do a PowerPoint." You know, that's one of my priorities for my own business. You know, I have to do something to move people through my own site more. Mm-hmm. You know, so I as an entrepreneur, I have these same issues. So yes, good point. I love that.
Yeah, it is difficult. In fact, to be honest with you, I started blogging this show because people say, well, we want to know more about you. Well, okay, you can hear my voice, but that's all you get. And so now I've got my radio show, which has been a phenomenal success, and I get to meet terrific people. Really enjoy it, and it also lets people find out, you know, who I am, what I do, and learn from the people that I'm learning from. So it has been a win-win thing for me. So
that's
you're right.
Great.
You do have to let people know who you are, and they do need to get comfortable with you.
It's so important, Denise. I mean, it's on the web especially because there's so much mistrust, and rightly so. You know, there's a lot of scams out there, and it's a very personal medium. People want to know the people that run the website. They want to get to know that person as much as possible. And so it's up to you as the website owner, the business owner, to make that happen. And that's how you stand out. I mean, it's your individuality, your uniqueness it's your best competitive edge, you know?
Right.
And you can showcase that with this stuff. So, all right. Well, we're almost to the halfway point. We're on number 5. I guess that is the halfway point.
I'll try not to interrupt anymore.
No, that's fine. And actually, we have really good timing here. The show is halfway through, and we're halfway to the top 10. So, man, we are good. number 5 is urgency. And what I mean by that is let's say you have an ebook, and you're selling it for $37. What's the overriding force that's going to compel someone to order right then while they're reading the page versus going away and coming back another time if and when they think about it? You need to get people to take action when they're on the site immediately. I mean, as a priority. It cannot be, oh, this isn't a good-looking site. Oh, okay, interesting. And then they go away, and then they go back to their lives. All kinds of things are vying for your website visitors' attention at any given moment. So unless you have something to keep them there, and to not only to keep them there, but to get them to take action, then they're going to be gone, and you're not going to get any business from that person, at least not right then. They may come back, but they may not. So let me give you some examples of creating urgency. Obviously, there's all kinds of things that you see all day long with ads. The way I like to talk about urgency is time and space. So for time, the urgency would be, you know, you only have until midnight. It's for a very limited time. I only have a certain amount of these, and that's the space aspect. There's only a certain amount of seats left on the on this program I'm going to be doing. You know, so time and space are the two, you know, things that can you can think about for urgency. So it's either you have until this date or this time, or you only have so many of these or so many spots left. Those are examples, and these are age-old marketing tactics, but they still work. You know, people if people think that they're going to miss out on something, that's a very compelling reason for getting people to take action. People do not want to get shut out of something. As consumers, yeah. we really don't want to miss out. So as a marketer, you know, as a business owner, you want to take advantage of that.
Well, can I give you an example very quickly that happened to me today?
Yeah.
I'm a website junkie. I build sites in my sleep. I admit it. I'm a techie. There is a plug-in that I want. It's only $10. It's only 10 bucks, but I can't get it until 5 o'clock tonight. I'm so mad. I have posted on my whiteboard, 5 o'clock, stop cooking dinner, buy plug-in.
Wow.
Now, how pathetic is that? the guy has announced it for 3 or 4 days. I've gotten his little autoresponder messages. I've bought plug-ins from him before. They're phenomenal. I really like them. The first 25 people, and this is two marketing angles that this guy has done, which I'm fascinated by. I'm sucked into it, but I'm fascinated by it. Number one is the first 25 people get it at 10 bucks. After that, it goes to $97.
Ooh,
so I can't cook at 5 o'clock. Nobody's eating in my house until I get that plug in.
So you see what this guy did?
I'm telling you. I was like, oh, darn. And I stomped around, and then I put it on my calendar. So he got me.
And it seems like the bigger the savings, you know, the more it will drive people. Like, there's this guy, like, once a month or so. I don't want to say his name. I'm not even positive what his name is. Oh, yes, I do. Okay. Anyway, he sells, every once in a while, he'll do this promotion where he sells his hypnosis recordings for $1.
Right.
And,
I know who that is. Yeah.
Yep. And so, because they're usually around $30, but he'll do this campaign, and it's just crazy. I've bought a number of those. And
But the only worth is if you listen to them. I found that out
right.
Hard. I was like, oh, cool.
And the only thing is about those recordings, they're like an hour long each. I mean, who's going to sit there and do an hour recording? Maybe that's why they go down to $1. I don't know.
Maybe.
The other thing I was going to say about that particular one is that if you're going to create urgency, make sure that you actually follow through on what you're threatening to do here as far as like raising a price or like because you want to maintain your integrity. So you don't want to say if it's going to expire at midnight, expire it at midnight.
There are plugins for that, by the way.
Really?
You don't have to sit up. Yeah, you don't have to. We'll talk. You don't need to sit up at midnight and take your site down. There are plugins that will expire those things.
Yeah, see, that's great.
I mean, plugins are like miracles, I'm telling you.
You should do a show on plugins, Denise.
I will. I think that's next. So.
Power of plugins.
That's actually a pretty good idea. Don't give me the idea. I'm booked until December on this thing. But that would actually be a great, great show. But you're right. I mean, if you're going to do this and you're going to maintain your integrity, look, if I am not one of the first 25 people, and I will be because now I'm mad, but, I mean, if I have to pay $97 for that plug-in, guess what I'm not doing? I'm not paying $97 for the plug-in. I have it in my head that I want it at 10 bucks.
Right.
But the other side of that is that if I get in there and it's up at 97, then I understand he really meant what he said.
Right.
And I kind of admire him for that.
Well, and that's
not going to pay it, but I still admire him.
That plants the seeds for his next campaign, you know, because then he'll get more sales the next time because people know he's for real. If you don't follow through on your promises to raise a price, they're not going to take you seriously the next time. So, you know, it definitely you have to see long term with stuff like that. Okay, we're on number six, I believe, and number six is one of my favorites. That's to generate emotion on your site. And by that, I mean putting yourself in the shoes of your ideal customer and really trying to generate some emotional energy that will come out of people as they read your text. There's something about it. For some reason, when people feel certain emotions on a website, they are much more by what you're selling.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be speaking in terms of the emotional outcomes. And actually, that's one of my specialties as a copywriter. I write emotion-based copy. You need to tap into the emotions of your target market, because people aren't going to buy just on price usually, unless, you know, we have this dollar special or whatever.
$10 special.
Right. I mean, if they're buying on emotion, then they'll find the money no matter what it is. Naturally there's a threshold, but they will. If you're able to pull out the right emotions with the text, then that's going to go a long way to making a sale, because it makes people think that you understand what they're going through, you can relate to that, and you get them. And if they realize, if they believe that you understand them, then that goes a long way. And it can be in terms of maybe you have your own inspiring success story that they can relate to. It could be that you just understand based on previous clients you've had and their results. It could be based on testimonials that they read on your site. But there's all kinds of ways that you can generate those emotions and then tie it into the call to action that will get people moving toward the sale. That is probably, that and the headline are two of the biggest things about improving your website so that it generates sales. I mean, let's face it, the reason why you're doing what you're doing, chances are, is because you have a passion for it, and you need to translate that passion on your site. And if you're not doing that, then it's really, they're just reading the site and going through the motions, and they're going to click away. And if it just sounds like a sales pitch, or if it sounds like you're just talking about yourself all the time, that's not going to work either. So you have to tap into them, their challenges, their pain, their emotions, and what their outcomes are going to mean to them. It's not about you, it's about them. And they just want to read about themselves. And the more you realize that, the more sales you're going to make. So.
Well, I've always said, excuse me, Andy, I've always told people who call me, your website is about one thing, what's in it for the visitor, period.
Yep.
They are going there because they are looking for an answer to a problem. They're looking for a solution for a problem, or they're looking for information. They don't care about your dog or if your grass just got cut. I mean, they don't. You use Facebook, Facebook for that. It has to be what's in it for them, and you have to, you have to really drill down and make sure that people understand that you can offer them solutions or answers or, you know, whatever it is that they're looking for. But they have to look at your copy, look at your website and go, oh, well, yeah, I will click here for more information, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, it's a biggie. So, all right. So, yeah, I wanted to spend some time on that one. And then number seven is benefits. Most people just do not have benefits on their website. And by benefits, I mean something that not to be confused with features. There's an age-old battle of features versus benefits on a website, and it's often confused. There's coaches, VAs, anybody who has a website where they're trying to talk about their services in a way that's going to impact their visitors get confused between features and benefits. And so just to clarify, the difference is the features just describe a product or service. The benefits talk about what the end result will be for the client or the customer. So think about that. Like, what are the end results of the product or service you're offering, and you need to showcase those end results. So let's say we're talking about a refrigerator. The features of that refrigerator are that it has an ice maker and that it has a certain amount of BTUs and things like that. The benefits are that it keeps your food cold and fresh, and you're able to enjoy
not being poisoned.
It keeps everything fresh. That's a very basic example, but in the case of a coaching program, like a group teleclass on how to get wealthy, let's say, the features are that you're going to get you're going to learn various things about that topic. You'll discover the basics of wealth building. You will learn about how to budget, how to set goals. You'll learn all those things. The benefits are you will be able to retire early. You will be able to travel. So a big difference. Most people most people just list the features, and people, yes, the features are important, but people buy for the benefits. That's they're looking for a solution. They don't want to know necessarily how they're going to get that solution. They want to know that solution is going to happen. So if that's not on your site, it needs to be. And there's a certain way to put it on there. So features are important, but the benefits are really what get people to take action.
Absolutely. I mean, you can go to a website. One thing that I see on a lot of these websites, and it's another plugin, is this features box. If you click on, you'll see three columns, and it's like the gold program is in the middle, and the aluminum program is to the left, and the platinum platinum is on the right. And the features, of course, as you get over to the right to the platinum, there are more check marks by the features, and that's all fine and dandy. But you're right, it's not emotional. It's like, oh, that's a pretty graphic, and I tune out right after that. Unless there's something beyond that telling me how this is really going to help me, I get the features, I can see them. They're lined up in a nifty little box, and they're checkmarked, and I can see the differences between the silver and the platinum, whatever they are. But how is this really going to assist me? What is it going to take me to implement these things? What is the cost? What is the level of difficulty? Is there assistance? Is there back-end assistance? What if I hit trouble? There are so many questions. And if those questions aren't answered and I don't feel good about it, I don't purchase anything. But I have to feel good about it. I have to feel excited. I have to feel like, oh, this is really going to help me.
Whew. Yep.
Okay.
Right.
And if I don't get that, I'm gone.
Exactly. I mean, because there's certainly enough other sites that will get you to feel that, and you're in competition with those sites. So you might as well. I've had money and I haven't had money, and having money is better. So if you can make changes,
yeah.
if some of these things will get you more sales just by implementing them, so that you can have more money. I mean, that's the main. That's the main thing, and then...
Well, that's why we're in business. That's why we do what we do. We do what we do because we love it. We do what we do because we can help other people, but we're darn sure in it for a profit.
Yeah, because if you're not making a profit, you're not going to help as many people.
Mm-mm.
That's simple.
And it's not
go out fun of
business, to be, Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, how many people are you going to help if you go out of business,
None. None.
So, okay. Now, I believe we're on number 8, and that is visual appeal. A lot of people want quick, down and dirty, solutions to getting their website up immediately, and there's so much temptation out there now with all of these Just Add Water website solutions.
Right.
Website Tonight and VistaPrintasm and all these other places that...
Yellow Pages has them. And they're terrible.
Man. Yeah, and
they really are.
Yeah, and they look it. You know, they look. They don't look as professional as it could be with. And I tell you, getting a professional to do it for you is really very similar in price. You'd be amazed. You know, it's really not as people on a budget can still have their site look professional. The days of multi-thousand-dollar websites are gone. I mean, I remember when I first came out with a website, I wanted to go local and you know, hire a local designer, and they wanted like $3,000. And it doesn't have to be that way anymore, you know. And so don't waste, you know, don't squander your opportunity to have a really good professional-looking site that's going to showcase who you are in the best possible way just because it's fast or cheap. And you can
It's not cheap in the long run, Andy, because, you know, some of the sites that you mentioned and Yellow Pages, you're paying a big upfront fee, but then you're paying big fees monthly forever and ever. And when you quit paying those fees, your website goes away. So it's really not a good thing to do. And these days, as you know, with WordPress, it is so easy to get in there and make your own changes. You don't have to necessarily hunt your web developer down. I actually install on all of the WordPress sites that I build a plugin. Again, here's with the plugins, called User Video Manual. And it's phenomenal. I pay $24 a month for it. I put this plugin on all of my client websites. There are 30 videos in the background plus this giant manual. If they hit a problem, you know, they, because my clients love to work in their own stuff, and they should. They should have some say on what's going on there. If it's big things, we do it. But if it's a matter of uploading pictures or, you know, blogging or hyperlinking something or even creating a new simple page, they can do it, number one, because I train them how to do it at the end of the build, and number two, because now they have this phenomenal plug-in that gives them all these videos that teach them how to manipulate their own site. So there is absolutely no reason not to have control over your site and not to have to pay these huge monthly fees. So, you know, go to GoDaddy, get your domain name, you know, go to HostGator, get your hosting for $70 a year, and install WordPress.
Exactly.
And then have a developer fix it for you. I mean, it's an investment, and you're right. So, I'm off my soapbox now. You can talk.
No, I mean, actually, Denise, this is right up your alley. I mean, you know, I mean, this is something, I mean, I didn't even intend to give you a plug here, but people should contact you, you know, if they want their site to look better, or if they're just starting out or whatever. I mean, you know, they should be looking to talk to you about it, because you are just an incredible resource for that. So, you know, this was naturally in my presentation, but I'm just thinking now, like, wow, Denise could help these people. So,
I can. Well, yeah, and we do in WordPress, and I don't mean WordPress.org, y'all. I mean get your own domain name, your own hosting, and your own website. That's a whole nother topic, and we won't cover it here, because if you don't, you won't own your content, and you can lose it all. But, but here's the thing. I mean, by the time, if you're going to build a business online, and you and I talked about this a month or so ago, didn't we, in a private call, if you are going to build a website online, that is your business. And if it looks like it's falling down, ramshackle, it's been patched, and there's tires laying around on the ground, people aren't coming back.
Exactly.
You have to present yourself as a viable business, as somebody who is very passionate and very caring about their business. And if you just kind of toss something up and tell people, and this is another, you know, thing that aggravates me, oh, I'm a virtual assistant. No, you're not. Look at your website. It's crap. I mean, I can't even tell you how many times I've looked at that and go, oh, and you're presenting yourself as a resource? Oh, my gosh.
Right.
But your website is so, so critical to your, as the starting point for your online business. Critical.
Well, so you wouldn't go to a job interview in a T-shirt and ripped up blue
No.
shirt, you know?
No.
So why would you do anything less than the best you can possibly do visually on your site? I mean, it just doesn't.
That's exactly right. And if you have to find a couple of $1,000 somewhere, find it, seriously.
Right.
Whatever
right.
it takes, or start very small and build as you go, but find the money to get that up, because it is who you are on the web. That is your portal. And if it looks bad, or if it looks cheesy, or if it looks like it was free from GoDaddy, you're not presenting yourself well.
Right. I mean, I've even seen sites that have a GoDaddy ad on them, you know, because they got the free hosting in addition to
yep.
the, ay, ay, ay. So I've...
Yeah. That's another talk, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It really is. You know, I mean, there's so many things to not do. Okay. Number 9, call to action. People, you know, do all this stuff on their websites, and then they forget to ask for the sale. You know, they forget to mm-hmm. say, click here to contact me. You know, I've seen so many pages where I would get to the end of the page and be like, okay, how about, you know,
how
telling me
you?
What to do next? Yeah.
Right.
Off of your own website, they are looking for you to guide them through the site. They will do what you tell them if you tell them. But if you don't tell them, they're going to default to the little X box at the top right of your screen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to go somewhere else. So that's, you know, that is their default mechanism. It's what they learned to do for ever since the internet was born. So unless they are told what to do next, they're just not going to do much. And this mm-hmm. is also where the urgency comes in. So, you know, you tie the urgency into the call to action, and those two go hand in hand. So it's really about them being excited about their purchase and doing something that's going to improve their life in some way, shape, form, whatever. It's their business or their personal life to achieve balance, whatever it is they're trying to do. So whatever you are selling on your website, you need to get them excited, and you need to get them to take that next step. And the next step should be to get their credit card out, you know, or whatever.
Right.
Pick up the phone.
PayPal.
Send you an email. Whatever it is to complete the circle needs to happen. So do not leave them hanging, because they will not be left hanging. They will go somewhere else. So call to action.
And Andy, absolutely. I can't tell you how many sites I've had that happen, and I'm looking at this, you know, great copy, and somebody did a nice job, it's very thoughtful copy. I don't know how to get anywhere. I mean, I do, because I'm a web developer, but I'm always looking at, well, I can do this, but what about people who don't know what to do now? You know, they don't know to go look for the contact or the sitemap tab and, you know, try to find you. It's kind of crazy. But here's another thing, and we touched on this earlier with email marketing, and this gets overlooked so often, and I'm always amazed by it. If you do get the sale, well, what are your next steps? You should be back in contact with those people. They should be sent, obviously, to a thank you page. Then they should be hooked into an autoresponder where you keep in touch and make sure that the product or service that you sold them is actually doing what it's supposed to do for them. And if it's not, by golly, you better make it right.
Yep, right. Right, that's a very good
point.
That's
a big component that is so often overlooked. So, okay, I bought this. Now what? Now how do I find these people again? So there's a whole sales cycle that has to go on there. And, you know, you keep in touch. You add these people to your list, and if there's an upsell down the road, you know, they're going to be a warm market for it because you're keeping in touch with them.
You know, it's so important to keep your current customers because I'm sure everyone's heard before that it's a lot easier to keep a customer than it is to get a new customer, you know, to keep that current customer buying from you. You know, so repeat business is really critical. And I don't know how many times I've bought something and then never heard from that person again. And, you know, I could have given them more money, you know. It's just too bad.
That's exactly right. And, you know, while we're on the topic of repeat business, I'm finding this with membership sites as well. You know, you'll join up for membership sites. Say, oh, gee, it's $19.99 a month. That's no big deal. And you don't hear from them again. But that credit card, $19.99 every month, but you're not getting emails. You're not getting, you know, autoresponder series that says, hey, this is what's going on, and, you know, whatever it is that you joined, you know, Toys R Us platform, whatever, just call it something, but you forget about it. Your credit card doesn't forget about it, but you forget about it.
And
once you look at your credit card and go, holy cow, I spent $100 on that, and you're out, you're gone. You cancel it. There's been no benefit because you don't know what's going on and you're not active in that community. So, again, for websites, you know, and the copy, of course, is what's going to get them to sign up for your membership site, but you better be really careful in that membership site that your people feel needed, wanted, and taken care of. Otherwise, they're out of there.
So true. Okay, we're at the last one, and just real quick is the to have testimonials. And I don't think there is any such thing as having too many testimonials. So if you have a ton of them, just put them on a separate page. And if you don't know how to get a testimonial, all you have to do is offer to write it for them. And actually that way, not only do you make their life easier, because most people will say yes if they had a good experience with you. So, but also you can then write it in a way that's going to reflect the benefits of working with you. So you can actually, when you craft your own testimonials on behalf of someone else, you become, it's really the perfect scenario. You make their life easier. You take away the work that they would need to put into writing it, and then all they have to do is sign off on it, and you have created the perfect sales copy for your site, and then, you know, as long as it's good. But, that's a biggie.
And another thing, too, you're right. Another way to do that, Andy, is if you're a member of LinkedIn, and you should be, you know, ask your clients and you know, people who have worked with you to write a referral for you, reference for you, and you put those up on LinkedIn. They're fabulous. You copy those over to your website. There you go.
There you go. Exactly.
There are so many different ways of doing it.
So those are my 10, Denise. That's it.
Perfect. Perfect.
And,
well, Andy, tell people where they can find you, because we're going to quit streaming in just a few.
Okay. What I'd like to do for anybody that is listening to this, if you can hear the sound of my voice, you can go and get. I would like to offer you a free website critique. So normally this is a $200 charge. I'm going to give it to you for free. So one on one. We'll get together to go over your website with a fine-tooth comb for 30 minutes on the phone, all right? All you have to do to book that with me is to go to andyobrien.com, and that's – I spell my name a little differently than other O'Brien. So it's Andy, A-N-D-Y. O'Brien is O-B-R-Y-A-N, O-B-R-Y-A-N. So it's andyobrien.com. And you can book a time with me right from that site, and you'll be able to read some testimonials and some other things there, and I'll kind of describe how that goes. Also, my main site is copyforcoaches.com, but if you're not a coach, it's okay. I write copy for anybody. I've been writing copy for over 20 years, and it's the love of my life. So go there, andyobrien.com, and I'll check out your site for you.
That is, and listen, for those of you who are listening, that's how I met Andy. You know, he put out a very emotional appeal that got me. I'm not saying it was, you know, please, please, please call me, but it was so greatly written that I went, oh, my gosh, I am calling this guy. We had a terrific conversation on a Saturday, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
It was a weekend, because people like us don't know that weekends exist. We work all the time. But Andy has looked at my websites and has made some phenomenal suggestions, and we're making a lot of moves based on his suggestions. So I'm going to tell you straight out, I recommend him. In fact, Andy, I recommended you to somebody on Facebook yesterday.
Well,
somebody
thanks.
Was looking for a copywriter, and I plugged in your name. So anyway, again, so it's andyobrien.com, is that right?
That's right.
Okay.
That's, O'Brien is spelled O-B-R-Y-A-N. It's kind of weird, but that's me.
Right. And you know what? I had a thought as I was listening to you talk about testimonials. The one website that I have not added any testimonials to is yourpartnerinsuccessradio.com. It didn't even occur to me. But you know what? My guests are so fabulous. I'm going to ask all of my guests to write something about their experience on the show.
Great idea.
That's a great idea. Thank you.
Yep. Well, listen, thank you, Denise.
Thank you.
This has just been a great experience, so I appreciate it.
Oh, well, I loved having you here. I've learned a lot from you, and I know our audience did as well. So it has been a pleasure, and I definitely want you to come back one day soon, probably the first of the year, and I'll get with you about that. So everybody, have a great weekend. The show will be available for download in about an hour. And this is Denise Griffiths and Andy O'Brien wishing you a fabulous weekend. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.